Welcome to The Daily Dose, where we are currently walking through an overview of the entire Bible. Join us today as we learn the story of Scripture and see God's redemptive plan through Christ from cover to cover. Let's listen to Matt Reister, Director of Christian Crusaders and the Cedar Falls Bible Conference.
Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. We're going to continue learning about Stephen, who we were introduced to in the last section, who would become the first martyr recorded in Scripture for the Christian faith. Before we jump into that, I want to say thanks to the Family Leader, who is our Daily Dose devotion sponsor. You can learn more about them in the announcements at the end of this devotion. Chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedman, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. Let's handle that just very quickly. So you remember from our last devotion that Stephen was one of the seven Hellenist Jewish Christian converts who were chosen to help distribute food to the Hellenist Jewish Christian convert widows. You can go back and check that out in our previous episode if you don't remember. So Hellenist Jews are Greek-speaking Jews as opposed to Hebrew-speaking Jews. They're Jews who were dispersed from the area of Palestine into other parts of the Middle East where there was Greek culture and Greek speaking, but they held on to their Jewish faith. And they had synagogues scattered around these areas. And Stephen was one of them who eventually became converted to the Christian message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there were people who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, that's what it was called. They were Cyrenians, they were Alexandrians, that should ring a bell. That's referring to Alexander the Great, named after him, the heroic Greek king of Macedon, and those from Cilicia and Asia. Something else that's interesting is that Saul, who we haven't been introduced to yet, but who will eventually become Paul after his conversion to Christ and will be the author of much of the remainder of the New Testament, Saul was from around the area of Cilicia. So there's a chance that Saul would have known some of these people who rose up and disputed with Stephen. And in fact, we're going to later find out, spoiler alert, that when Stephen is stoned, when he's martyred, Saul himself was at the stoning of Stephen, helping carry it out prior to his conversion to Christ. So that's what all that's referring to in the first couple verses, verse 10. But they, the people from these synagogues who were disputing with Stephen, could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." So if you paid attention in the Gospels to Jesus' arrest and his conviction, the time that he was before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, the false charges that they trumped up against him, this sounds very, very familiar. And Stephen, not unlike Christ, isn't speaking directly against Moses and against God. He's not speaking directly against the synagogue. He's not even saying that Jesus will destroy it. You might remember back in John where Jesus says that if they destroy this temple, he will raise it again in 3 days. He's speaking about his body being destroyed. It's a foreshadowing of his death and resurrection, not an explicit threat against the temple or against the synagogue, the Jewish places of worship. But these people are determined to get rid of Stephen, and so they're twisting his words and making up false charges against him. And the truth behind those false charges is that Stephen is likely just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the primacy of the gospel of Jesus Christ over and above Jewish customs, rituals, traditions. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is God. The gospel, trusting in Jesus Christ for forgiveness and salvation, is the path to reconciliation to God, not keeping a bunch of ritualistic rules, as was the case prior to Jesus coming to preach the good news of his kingdom. A couple things about Stephen in this text that I think we should take to heart. Number one, in verse 10, it says that they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen was speaking. This means that when they were disputing with him, they couldn't beat him. He out-debated them, which is what ultimately made them upset enough to trump up charges against him and kill him. If any of you are like me, you don't shy away from a good heated conversation about doctrine or about faith. I like to engage with atheists. I like to engage with people who aren't Christian. If I happen to get in a discussion with them to share my perspective on why the Christian gospel, the truth of God's word, is more real, more reliable than any other doctrines, religions that are out there. If you're like that in any way, we need to remember that our wisdom and our effectiveness when we have these kinds of disputes and discussions does not come from ourselves. It's not because we're such compelling communicators, but this wisdom and this effectiveness comes from the Spirit of God. That's a good reminder. Secondly, in verse 13, I love what they say about Stephen, and I hope people would say it about me or you. This man never ceases to speak, so on and so forth. Despite the opposition that Stephen was facing, despite the threat on his life that was always on the horizon, Stephen didn't stop. He was fearless. He was bold. In times like we're living today, when hostility toward the truth of God's word, toward the gospel of Jesus Christ, is greater than maybe it's ever been, at least in America, I hope that we also will never cease speaking or standing for the truth. And finally, to wrap up in verse 15, it says, and gazing at him, remember, Stephen is before the Jewish ruling council. He's on the hot seat. They're all listening to what he has to say about these accusations. It says, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. We don't know exactly what that means. We do know that when Moses was with God on Mount Sinai back in Exodus, he came back and he was glowing. There was a part of God's glory that had kind of reflected off Moses. So maybe it was something like that. Maybe Stephen's closeness to God was reflecting physically, visibly through his face. Or maybe it meant that he was calm. He was peaceful, like the face of an angel. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't fearful about what was coming. He just calmly said, and represented God with peace and with grace. In any case, this points to the idea that Stephen's identity, his security, his stability, his foundation was in God, in Jesus Christ. He had confidence from somewhere else besides what could be mustered up in a man. And may we spend time with the Lord so that we get to the place where we have the same kind of confidence. We've got more about Stephen coming in our next devotion. Until then, thanks for tuning in. And have a great day.
This is The Daily Dose, a podcast of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Please subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify podcasts, or download the free Christian Crusaders app and share with a friend. Also, prayerfully consider supporting our ministry at ChristianCrusaders.org, where you can find our weekly 30-minute radio broadcast airing on stations around the world since 1936, and where you can listen to our Conversations podcast featuring inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Special thanks to our Daily Dose sponsor, The Family Leader. God designed three social institutions, the family, the church, and government. At The Family Leader, they are bringing all three together, honoring God and blessing our neighbors. Learn how and join them at thefamilyleader.com. We also want to highlight another special ministry partner, the Cedar Falls Bible Conference. Check out conference videos and schedule of events online at cedarfallsbibleconference.com. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.